Welcome to today's podcast. This is Olu Akinkumi speaking, pastor of Higher Life Christian Center. I'm just doing a recap, but it's not a recap. It's actually a summary of what we discussed last Friday at the WebEx Bible study. We were looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we looked at verses 1 to 22. I'm just going to have a quick read, and I'm reading the NLT translation, okay? The New Edition 2007. It says, "Am I not as free as everyone else? Am I not an apostle? Haven't I seen the Lord Jesus with my own eyes? Isn't it because of my work that you belong to the Lord? Even if others think I am not an apostle, I am certainly to you. You yourselves are proof that I am the Lord's apostle. This is my answer to those who question my authority. Don't we have the right to live in your homes and share your meals? Don't we have the right to bring a Christian wife with us as the other apostles and the Lord's brothers do, and as Peter does? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have to work to support ourselves? What soldier has to pay his own expenses? What farmer plants a vineyard and doesn't have the right to eat some of its fruit? What shepherd cares for a flock of sheep and isn't allowed to drink some of the milk? Am I expressing merely a human opinion, or does the law say the same thing? For the law of Moses says, you must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. Was God thinking only about oxen when he said this? Wasn't he actually speaking to us? Yes, it was written for us so that the one who plows and the one who threshes the grain might both expect to share the harvest. Since we have planted spiritual seed among you, aren't we entitled to a harvest of physical food and drink? If you support others who preach to you, shouldn't we have an even greater right to be supported? But we have never used this right. We would rather put up with anything than be an obstacle to the good news about Christ. Don't you realize that those who work in the temple get their meals from the offerings brought to the temple, and those who serve at the altar get a share of the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. Yet, I have never used any of these rights, and I am not writing this to suggest that I want to start now. In fact, I would rather die than lose my right to boast about preaching without charge. Yet, in preaching the good news, it is not something I can boast about. I am compelled by God to do it. How terrible for me if I didn't preach the good news. If I were doing this on my own initiative, I would deserve payment. But I have no choice, for God has given me this sacred trust. What then is my pay? It is an opportunity to preach the good news without charging anyone. That's why I never demand my rights when I preach the good news." Basically, similar to chapter 8, where Paul was saying that, look, I know you've got knowledge, but if a brother is there who is not comfortable with eating food sacrificed to idols, don't eat it for the sake of that brother's conscience. Don't do something that would encourage somebody to violate their conscience, because that's a sin against that person and a sin against Christ as the one who, quote unquote, has knowledge. But in chapter 9, he then gets personal, talking about himself and the fact that as a minister of the gospel, he himself had every right to be supported by the Corinthians, but he never demanded his rights. He decided to forgo his rights for the sake of the gospel. As far as he was concerned, and this is the heart of Paul, and this is how Paul thought about his mission, he didn't want anything to hinder the gospel. He didn't want anything to hinder the good news. In fact, when you look at verse 12, he says, "If you support others who preach to you, shouldn't we have even greater right to be supported?" But we never used this right. We would rather put up with anything than be an obstacle to the good news. He didn't want to be an obstacle, you see. The NIV says, "But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ." This was Paul's thrust as a preacher, as a man of God. He didn't want anything to hinder the gospel. So even if it was legitimate, even if it was right for him to be supported by the Corinthians, I guess he kind of looked at the environment he was in and he felt, you know what, I'm going to forgo this right. Because obviously there were other parts, like when you look at Philippians chapter 4, Paul did receive gifts from the church in Philippi. So it's not that he's against ministers being supported. He said it, he justified it, that the minister or the preacher, the traveling preacher, and that's what he was, should be supported by those he gives the good news to. But he chose not to exercise that right so that the message isn't hindered at all. It seems, I mean, he had challenges with the Corinthians, because verse 3 shows that some of the saints there were challenging his authority. Some people thought he was probably dodgy. Who knows? I mean, same thing we do today. And the fact that Paul and Barnabas worked while they traveled to preach the gospel, some people looked down on that because, hey, Paul, you're not equal to the guys who don't have to work. All the other apostles don't have to work. So who are you? Look at you working with your hands. Within that culture at that time, people who engaged in work that involves your hands were not really respected. So Paul had a lot against him when it came to dealing with the church in Corinth. I would like to encourage those of you who are in ministry but not doing it full time. Having to work while you take care of the Lord's sheep does not mean that you're any less a minister than the person who doesn't have to work but is in full time ministry. Don't look down on yourself and don't let anyone look down on you. Even if they do look down on you, you don't look down on you, okay? You're still a servant of the Lord and you're still doing his work, even if it's not full time. Fair enough, you're still a minister of the gospel, and don't let anyone take that away from you. So in concluding this part of the study, the question I want to ask is whether you as a Christian would forgo a legitimate right for the sake of the gospel, meaning that it might not necessarily be wrong, but because you think it will hinder the message getting across to somebody else, would you not use your right like Paul decided to do for the sake of the gospel, or would you put your interest first? Would you put your interest before that of the kingdom? And that's a great example Paul has left for us. Even though he had a right to support, he chose not to use that right for the sake of the kingdom. The other part of our discussion covered verses 19 to 22. I'm just going to read that quickly. It says, "Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow Jewish law, I too lived under the law, even though I am not subject to the law. I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I'm with the Gentiles who do not follow Jewish law, I too live apart from the law, so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I'm with those who are weak, I share their weaknesses, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings." Verse 22 of the same scripture that I read in the NIV says, "To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." Paul was a master evangelist, and he tried to find common ground between himself and his audience. Whether they were Jew or Gentile, whether they obeyed the law or they didn't, it did not matter to him. What was important was the opportunity to save some. The question we need to ask ourselves as Christians is, are we willing to go outside our comfort zone to reach people for the Lord? That's a question I have to ask myself as a pastor. And when we're doing this, it made me really rethink and think about myself and think about how I do things as a minister of the gospel. Are we willing to forgo our status, academic achievement, wealth, class, and all the other razzmatazz that surrounds us in order to give people a chance to hear this message? Are we willing to do that? Because Paul was willing to do whatever it took to get the message across to his audience so that he may win some. I'm not talking about him sinning or doing something sinful, but he tried to find a common ground where he could reach people without compromising the message. Over the years, I have seen God bless local churches, diverse groups of people coming into the fellowship, wanting Jesus, wanting this message. Most of them sometimes don't hang around because the dominant group or the dominant ethnic group in the fellowship has been unwilling to go out of their comfort zone to reach out to these people. Paul never did that, and I guess that's why he was so effective. If you're of African origin like I am, people come to your church of a different ethnic group, there's no point in you after the service congregating together, speaking your language and ignoring them. That is offensive. You're not going outside your comfort zone. It's supposed to be inclusive. They've come to Jesus. Include them. Speak a language that you all understand. It's important that we don't do that. Anyway, I've got to quit. I've got to go. But I pray that we'll be able to embrace this mindset of Paul within whatever context God has placed us. Have a great week. Catch you on Friday. God bless you.